We had far more women engaged than we have ever seen before. And, we talk about this very briefly at the end of this piece, but I think there's a lot more to disentangle there. One thing we do know is that women are being drawn into violent extremist movements online in greater numbers than when they had to participate only in offline contexts, in part because they don't face the misogyny of men in the movement as much when they're engaging in online contexts of recruiting other women and engaging on YouTube and videos. And so we also know that more women were engaged through QAnon channels. And so the question about women's engagement and whether we'll continue to see such high numbers of women engaging, even in violent outcomes, is one to watch, I think.
Why are women more involved again?
Women are getting more involved. There are a couple different reasons, but one is that we have seen more women be engaged in online platforms as leaders, as influencers online than we normally would see when they had to engage only in physical online, offline engagements in backwoods militias or in Ku Klux Klan groups. Now, women were always, as somebody else has always said, someone is sewing the Ku Klux Klan uniforms and making the meals. I mean, they were always helpers and part of white supremacy. It's not that they were absent, for example, on that fringe, but playing active roles in violent action and insurrection would be is much less likely to see. And the other reason we saw more women is because we have seen the wellness community in some pockets of the country be pretty susceptible to QAnon propaganda and conspiracy theories, in part and through intersections with beliefs about alternative medicine or distrust of traditional authorities. And that has drawn, it's called Pastel QAnon, and that has drawn more women into these movements through the conspiracy channel.
What role, if any, did disinformation play in all of this on the 6th?
I think disinformation itself was probably the most important factor in what happened on January 6th. So even if accelerationism turns out to have gotten a boost, it's still overwhelmingly a fringe, it's a growing, but it's a fringe kind of aspect of this. But disinformation itself is what brought, thousands of people together and millions of people who continue to believe in an illegitimate election despite all evidence to the contrary. So, this idea of a foreign interference potentially playing a role, and as I think a lot of people have been discussing and documenting, is extremely troubling because it shows how, I think what we've seen from January 6th is just how vulnerable our own democracy is to the susceptibility of its own citizens to disinformation and propaganda in ways that we don't like to recognize because we have often referred to ourselves as a beacon of democracy. And it's harder to see yourself as fragile, I think, when you see yourself as a beacon. But we are, as a democracy, just as susceptible as any other place in the world to whether that's disinformation from elites, disinformation from foreign interference, disinformation and propaganda from extremist groups, and the way that they circulate, and it's easy to circulate through these kind of troll farms and broad individuals through hashtags, through channels like QAnon hashtags, and circulate in broader scope is makes it much easier to get right in front of the screens of ordinary people who are already spending far too much time online in a pandemic.
Cynthia Miller-Idris is director of the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab at the American University in Washington. J.J. Green, WTOP News.